Speaker is Roland L. from San Diego.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Roland. I am an alcoholic. It's good to be here tonight. I'd like to thank Larry for asking me to come out here and do this. It's an honor and a pleasure to do it. My sobriety date is September 16th of 2016. Thanks to Celeste and Larry for doing that. I started drinking probably at the age of 12 or 13 from a big family. We had a really big 17-room house where I grew up. We had a nice billiard room. We had a bar inside it. My parents always entertained people. So we always had a little mixed drink sitting around that I would go sip. And it was like Seagram 7s, I think, was my first one. It was horrible. But I liked it. I liked it anyway, and it made me feel good. And I kept on doing it. I'm 58 years old, so to try to squeeze in 40-something years of drinking is going to be impossible. So I just continued drinking. We moved from Bridgeport, Connecticut to California in 1977. I had a lot of aunts and uncles out here and all my nephews and stuff. I came out here, got a job with them, and they were also involved in drinking a lot of other things, and I just fit right in. And it went on like that for many years. And due to that thing, I really couldn't hold a job for too long, not long at all. So I ended up doing a lot of other things to make money, a lot of criminal activities, which ended me up in a lot of dark places for a long time, penitentiaries, homelessness, and things like that. But it took me a long time before I could realize and do step one and finally admit that I was completely defeated. I was ready to surrender, but I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't one guy who liked to surrender anything, including gumball machines. We'll get to that in a minute. So anyway, yeah, I spent a lot of years homeless, living in the back of a U-Haul in Oceanside on Coast Highway and Missouri. They have a big U-Haul lot there, so I slept in the back of a U-Haul truck. I had plenty of blankets. I didn't think I was homeless. It was more like an outdoorsman-style thing and stuff like that. So anyway, to show you, I don't want to use the word qualify, but let's use it anyway. The gumball story. I promised Larry I would tell this story so you guys could get a gist of where I was at, how sick I was. There's a liquor store in Antonitas, believe it or not, and it's called Beach Liquor. I'm not sure if it's Beach Town Liquor, but it has a beach in it. It's by the beach, so that makes total sense. I'm standing out there trying to panhandle some money to get, you know, either vodka, if I didn't get a bunch of money, but my go-to was Jim Beam, but a lot of times I couldn't get that much money, so I settled with vodka. I'm standing out front of the store, and I'm not doing too good panhandling. Yeah, I'm getting a quarter here, a lot of dirty looks here, and a little bit of money. So I noticed this big gumball machine sitting by the door, and it's got one of those big round orbs on it, whatever you want to call it. And I'm thinking, man, there's got to be 2,000 gumballs in there. But right now there's like 200. And I'm thinking, if each gumball cost a quarter, there's a lot of quarters in that thing down there. So I get this bright idea that I'm going to act like nobody's going to see me. I'm going to pick this gumball machine up and quietly walk down the street behind the building where I'd proceed to break into it and get my quarters, and I'd be able to get, you know, the bottle that I wanted. It took me a long time pacing back and forth, watching the guy in the store. And the window's got a bunch of Budweiser advertisements, Corona and all that shit, so he could barely see out the door. So after pacing like four or five times by it, I was committed. I said, this is it. That gumball machine's mine. No turning back. I proceed to grab the gumball machine, and I proceed to take a few steps to the right very quickly. And all of a sudden, I fell on the ground with the gumball machine because I didn't realize there was a little wire cable on the bottom that was securing it. Anti-theft device. Worked quite well. Now, see, I'm committed now. I'm committed now because I've already been seen. I stand back up. I grab the machine. I give it a yank, and the thing breaks loose. So I'm running down Antonitas Boulevard with a gumball machine. Sound like Choo Choo Charlie because all the gumballs are dancing. And I think I made it 10 or 20 steps where I stepped off a curb and fell again. And not realizing the attraction that I was drawing, because I was oblivious. It was me and the gumball machine. I was the only thing in the world. And there's these people called Good Samaritans. God bless them. They decided to kind of hold me down until the police got there. And they're trying to get me off the gumball machine, but I wasn't having none of it. I had an arm wrapped around it. When they pulled my arm off of it, I wrapped my leg around it. And that time, the people knew that I was sick. There was something wrong with me. So they just left me there, but they kept me on the ground until the cops came. 5 minutes already? So after putting a knee in my back, telling me to quit resisting, I probably should have did that, but I didn't. So I was abruptly handcuffed, taken to jail. And after sitting in the cell for a little while, I was like, wow, that was quite an experience right there. So standing up in front of a judge for the 19th, 20th time, sentenced me to 3 more years in prison for a damn gumball machine. Yep. And I wish I could say that was the last time that happened. Not with the gumball machine, but other stories like that. But I just couldn't get it, man. That's where my life was. So what happened was I ended up going back to the Freedom Ranch, which is, any ranchers here?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm talking about. And I went back to the ranch again, and I finally did step one 100% this time. And when I did that, something happened. It made all the other steps a lot easier, because I never did step one 100%. I bounced in and out of this room many times. I've been in this meeting for years, you know, and but once I did step one, man, it made it so easy. You know, I was able to do step two, step three, and step four. And for any of the newcomers, man, step one is there for a reason. That's why it's step one, because if you don't do that 100%, there's a good chance you're not going to make it. In my opinion, there's no sense in going on. Go back to step one until you can do it 100%. And like I say, I work up at the Freedom Ranch now. I get to help a lot of people out. I do a lot of intakes. I help people coming off the streets that are not looking too good when they come in, and apparently not too good when they've been there a while. I got a lot of good friends here tonight who came out to hear me speak, and you know, it's just an honor and a pleasure. Like I say, if it wasn't for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll be back in prison right now, spending a couple more years here and there, and back to homelessness and doing all that crap. And I'm just tired of it. You know, I have to get sick and tired to finally just say, you know, what do I got to lose? What do I got to lose this time? Because I messed around with the steps so much, and it didn't work. So I said, you know, I'm just going to give it 100% this time and see what happens. And so far, it's been pretty awesome, man. I got a good life today. Let me see. What's happened? Well, I had Hep C. I went and got it treated. If I wasn't in AA, it wouldn't have happened. My Hep C is gone. And I also got a GED book and went back to school and got my GED. So that's pretty good. So, you know, and now the sky's the limit. You know, I'm planning on going back to school to be a counselor so I can stay up there at the Freedom Ranch and help people, because that's what I like to do. A lot of the guys up at the ranch, you know, thank me for what I do up there, and it's pretty awesome. Because one alcoholic helping another is probably the most important thing that helps me stay sober there, helps me stay focused. And, you know, when I see somebody coming in all broken, you know, like coming in a paper suit from jail, and I get to put clothes on their back, I get to give them a toothbrush, shaving cream, and then I see them in about a week, they got a smile, and they're, you know, they're kind of getting this thing, and there's no bigger thrill for me than that. So thank you for letting me be here tonight and share, and God bless you guys.